This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
U.S. downs a drone. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, July 19. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says the Navy took down an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz because it threatened an American ship and crew.
The weather will feel so hot in parts of the central and eastern U.S., that Washington, D.C. will have temperatures that rival Death Valley, California.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill grill the acting Homeland Security Secretary on family separations at the southern border.
And the inconsistent efforts of airlines to improve their onboard Wi-Fi.
You know, it's a real hodgepodge. It's there are aircraft out there that are still on the old air-to-ground system. The service is slow. It's go-go service, but frequent flyers often call it slow-go or no-go. You get kicked off. Hard to do much of anything.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney updates us on the race to make airline Wi-Fi less terrible. He's here later in the hour. The U.S. Navy has downed an Iranian drone that was flying too close to a U.S. warship in the Strait of Hormuz. The announcement came hours after Iranian forces said they had seized a foreign tanker near the critical oil shipping route. President Trump said the USS Boxer, an amphibious assault ship, took defensive action against the drone, which he said was threatening the safety of the ship and the ship's crew.
The drone was immediately destroyed. This is the latest of many provocative and hostile actions by Iran against vessels operating in international waters.
In terms of how it was downed, the Wall Street Journal says Marines within the last year began deploying a system that can detect drones and jam the signal that connects them to their remotely located pilots, forcing them to crash. Tensions are rising in the region. Earlier in the day, a Wall Street Journal reporter aboard the USS Boxer witnessed an unarmed Iranian Navy helicopter fly alongside the Boxer, yards away from the deck, before a U.S. helicopter chased it away. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan was under the spotlight on Capitol Hill yesterday as lawmakers questioned him about family separations at the border. Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, a member of the so-called Squad of four newly elected Democrats, accused him of wanting to prolong the detention of children, something Mr. McAleenan denied. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez questioned him about postings in a controversial Facebook group.
I am aware of the ProPublica article, yes.
Did you see any of the posts in the report?
I did.
Did you see the posts mocking migrant children's deaths?
I did.
Did you see the post planning physical harm to myself and Congresswoman Escobar?
Yes, and I directed an investigation within minutes of reading the article.
Mr. McAleenan explained that the agency wants to keep families together through an immigration proceeding that's fair and expeditious in an appropriate setting. He added, that can't be done in 20 days with due process. While the Midwestern and Northeastern United States will continue to swelter in dangerous heat and high humidity through the weekend, an upcoming pattern flip is in store that will allow cooler and less humid air to push southward from Canada. Meanwhile, AccuWeather estimates that more than 87 million Americans live in an area where a daily record-high temperature could be set tomorrow. AccuWeather real field temperatures are forecast to spike near 110 in some urban areas for several hours during the late morning and afternoon. Temperatures around 100 are possible in cities like Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, St. Louis, and Chicago. Windy City Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Stay hydrated, stay out of the sun, use sunblock. But if you're starting to feel faint or weak, that may be a sign of heat exhaustion. Take care.
Forecast temperatures are 10 to 15 degrees above average, even for the middle of summer. Remember to increase the intake of non-alcoholic fluids and frequently check on young children and the elderly. Also, Avoid walking pets on paved and concrete areas during the late morning and afternoon hours. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. If you're a Democrat who's newly elected to Washington and you represent one of the early voting states in next year's primary, your phone may be ringing off the hook with presidential candidates who'd like to do campaign events with you. More from Eliza Collins, politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Eliza, explain.
These may be names that the national audience has never heard of, but Democratic candidates are calling them a lot, basically, to get information, you know, on who to hire, who the operatives and activists are at the local level, good places to hold town halls, you know, all sorts of things that are just really logistical these candidates are calling and asking these members of the House about.
I guess it seems like a win-win for both, right? The say, House candidate, perhaps, and the presidential candidate.
It is. So it's a little bit interesting. Of course, you want to hear from the presidential candidates, and it's, you know, they're good connections to have. But there are a handful of representatives who represent swing districts. So take someone like Abby Finkenhauer in Iowa. She flipped a red district in the 2018 midterm, and she has to do a lot to hold on to her seat, and she's nervous about it. So while she said she's answering calls and she is giving advice, she's not doing any events with candidates, and she's really focused on, she told me, like, touring bridges, even if candidates are in her same district.
Wow.
The other thing that goes without saying is that it might not be so helpful for someone like Abby Finkenhauer to be up there with someone, say, like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, who are on the more progressive end, even if they're in the same party in a district that is purple. Now, these candidates aren't, these members of Congress aren't saying that, but really they're trying to do all they can to hold on to their seat.
Wow. So if you are a congressional candidate, do you dare say no when a presidential candidate calls and says, let's do an event together or share some info with me?
Some of them have. Not sharing info. I think pretty much everyone we talked to was happy to share info because these are still members of your party and they really could be the president. But, you know, there are a handful of candidates who especially are new members, so freshmen, and are kind of still trying to figure out what they're doing. And so they're saying, you know, I'm not doing events at this time. There's too many. You know, I talked to Chris Pappas in New Hampshire, who is a new member, and he basically said the field is too big. It would take up all of my time to do events. So he's happy to take calls. He's happy to offer advice. And he's not ruling out endorsing down the road, but he's not doing events at this point. But someone like Annie Custer, who's in New Hampshire and is a more senior member of Congress, will do events with anyone who calls. She doesn't care how they're polling, and she really likes it. So I was in New Hampshire with her when she was at a Beto O'Rourke event, and she introduced him, and she just got a whole kick out of it because he mentioned some of her policies, and she just thinks it's a lot of fun.
Wow. We're speaking with Eliza Collins, politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled, 2020 Spotlight Shines on Lawmakers in Early Primary States, especially Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. What about endorsing a candidate?
So none of the folks we had talked to had endorsed yet. And I think part of that is just their power. You know, if you get out and endorse someone, you give up the power of other people to court you, to ask you for advice. You don't want to get on the bad side of candidates who could end up being the nominee and maybe the president. So I think that, you know, we talked to some members who said, don't endorse until you really know, let the field winnow down, and then you can make a selection. And they're not saying you can never endorse, but, you know, the field at this point is 24 people, so they don't really gain much by giving an endorsement.
Yeah. Veteran Congress members, as you point out, get in on this too, right? South Carolina's Jim Clyburn.
Yes. So Jim Clyburn is kind of the one exception to these 10 members who are relative unknowns. Jim Clyburn is definitely known. He is the Democratic whip right now, so he's a member of leadership, and he's been in Congress a very long time and hosts these events in his district, the Fish Fry, which every 4 years Democratic candidates show up at, and there's fried fish and alcohol, and they make their pitch, basically. And in the past, there haven't been that many candidates. But I was there this year, and there were 21 candidates, and they each got about a minute on stage to make their pitch.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins, politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Iran is denying President Trump's statement that a U.S. warship destroyed an Iranian drone near the Persian Gulf after it threatened the ship, an incident that marks a new escalation of tensions between the countries. Trump says the USS Boxer, an amphibious assault ship, took defensive action against the drone.
The Boxer took defensive action against an Iranian drone, which had closed into a very, very near distance, approximately 1,000 yards, ignoring multiple calls to stand down.
The Iranian military says all its drones had returned safely to their bases and denies there was any confrontation with a U.S. vessel. Dangerously hot weather is hitting most of the U.S., with temperatures soaring across the Midwest and East this weekend. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
We have a coordinated, collaborative, and comprehensive response to the coming heat wave, ensuring resources are readily accessible for every Chicagoan.
Temperatures are expected to reach 100 in New York City. The Philadelphia Police Department is suspending 13 officers with intent to fire them following an investigation into offensive and sometimes threatening Facebook posts. Police Commissioner Richard Ross.
I continue to be very angered and disappointed by these posts, many of which, in my view, violate the basic tenets of human decency.
The comments included encouragement of police brutality, extreme hostility to Islam, and suggestions of violence toward transgender individuals. House Democrats have approved legislation to raise the federal minimum wage for the first time in a decade to $15 an hour, but the bill has almost no chance in the Republican-controlled Senate. The increase from what's now $7.25 an hour would be phased in over 6 years. Tom Cruise delivered not just one, but two surprises for the audience at Comic-Con in San Diego. The first was Cruise himself. He showed up at an event yesterday, causing the audience in the 8,000-seat auditorium to go nuts. He also brought with him the first trailer for his upcoming movie, Top Gun Maverick, the long-awaited sequel to the 1986 smash action film that made him a household name. Footage revealed few plot details, but showed Cruise's Pete Maverick Mitchell as an aging pilot who refuses to retire.
My wife saw it last night. She's like, wow, Tom Cruise looks good for 57. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you want to keep more of your Social Security check for things like food and entertainment in your golden years, think about cities where housing is cheaper than average. More from Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, where are we going?
All right, number one on the list, Memphis, Tennessee. Rents are about $890 a month there. It's cool because I love Memphis. It's actually one of my favorite towns in America. But, you know, it's got cool stuff like Graceland, which everybody knows. But it's also a huge emerging foodie town. I mean, Food and Wine recently wrote it up. Southern Living wrote it up. So it's got great barbecue. And it's got a bunch of culture. And it's also really inexpensive. So your money could go pretty far away there.
You know, the average Social Security check, you said, is $1,350, right? These cities are what, in the 800, right? This one right about $900. That doesn't leave much room for anything else, which
right.
does speak to the point you and I hammer away at sometimes, and that's that you have to have other retirement savings, not to go off on some tangent.
Yes, no, but that's right. I mean, if you're going to just live on $1,350 a month, I mean, some people get more, some people get less, whatever, but you got to have other retirement savings somewhere, something, which a lot of people don't do, which is why you see people working very, very long. But yeah, you're right. That $890 in rent, and then you're paying, and then you only get a $1,350 check, you're going to have to scrimp if that's all you got.
That's more than 50% of your income there on rent. College Town, South Bend, Indiana, made the list.
Yeah, I mean, rent here is $768, the median, which is really low. The University of Notre Dame is minutes away. It's the fourth largest city in Indiana, so it's 300,000 people. So there's stuff to do. There's two big performing arts centers. You're sort of close to Lake Michigan. And again, I mean, it's cheap, right? $768, not bad. I mean, it's a little chilly up there, but if you want to stretch your dollar, it's not a bad option.
Well, you know, the pattern that's been established, just looking at your handful of top tens, nothing on the coasts.
You're not retiring in the Northeast. You're not retiring on the West Coast. It's not going to happen as usual, right? The Midwest and the South, these are places on all these lists for stretching your dollar. That's where you go.
What does Springfield, Illinois bring to the table?
Right. Well, this is interesting. So this was once home to Abraham Lincoln. So it's got a lot of history there. So it's interesting for somebody who's kind of a history buff. There's the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum. They have a really cool History Comes Alive festival in the summer that kind of reimagines what it was like when Abraham Lincoln lived there. There's a Frank Lloyd Wright house that Route 66 goes through there. And again, $870 a month rent, not so shabby. You can really stretch your dollar there.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She's written a piece about cities where your Social Security check will easily cover housing costs. Sorry, we talked about Memphis, South Bend, Indiana, Springfield, Illinois. What else jumped out at you?
Columbus, Georgia often gets overlooked. This is not huge, right? But it's on the river, on the Chattahoochee River, bordering Alabama. Lots of for an outdoorsy person to do, right? They have the largest urban whitewater course in the world. Didn't know if you knew that. Birding, biking, kayaking. You know, it's nice. The weather is mild, right? It's the South.
Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobes. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? Well, this is not the most invigorating shopping experience, right? You just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're kind of playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon is going to give you right now 20% off your first order. Go to MacWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you'll ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mac Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep them. Get a refund. No questions asked. Mac Weldon giving you 20% off right now on your first order. Go to MacWeldon.com right now and enter the promo code Gordon.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Friday, July 19. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. U.S. Navy shoots down an Iranian drone. Hottest weather in years for the central and eastern U.S. Record quarterly revenue from Microsoft, thanks to its cloud business. Gender-specific terms no longer allowed in city codes in Berkeley, California. Manhole is now called maintenance hole. And frats and sororities are now called collegiate Greek system residences. Live-action remake of The Lion King opens in theaters today. And Understanding the Heat Index. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, a major heat wave is expected to bake two-thirds of the nation through this weekend, with forecasters calling for temperatures to soar across much of the central and eastern U.S. Extreme heat doesn't just worsen the physical health of people with mental health diagnoses. It can also exacerbate their existing mental health conditions. Analysis from Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist and chairman of a nonprofit called Mainstream Mental Health. John, what happens here?
It increases our stress level. In general, when we sleep, our bodies actually like to drop in temperature, and it helps us sleep better and gives us better REM sleep, REM sleep, which allows us to feel more rested and relaxed. So it causes a physiological source of stress for us, and it makes people kind of short-tempered and actually increases in assaults and crime. Also, with the days growing longer and the nights growing shorter, it's cooler at night. So people are running around at night and they're exhausted on the day, during the day, and they just don't have the cognitive and emotional strength and wherewithal that they do in more moderate temperature times.
So are the things that are driving this actually happening at night while we're sleeping and then impacting us during the day, or are some of these biological or physiological things happening during the day as well?
They're both. They're happening at night and at day. You know, when you're not sleeping well because your body can't cool off, it becomes a very restless sleep, and you become agitated, and you don't go into REM sleep, which is where we tend to process a lot of our daily functions and kind of resolve things and get actual true cognitive rest. But in the daytime, you get uncomfortable because you're hot, you start sweating, your heart rate increases, and respiratory rates increase, and it makes you almost feel like you're on the edge of that fight or flight mechanism where, you know, when you see a danger, your body prepares to run or fight. And when that happens, you're also releasing cortical steroids, which are bad for things like hypertension and strokes. So you're getting all this stuff, this agitation, and you don't necessarily stay cognizant of it. You don't realize that's going on. So then somebody, for example, cut you off at the grocery store on accident because they're not aware of you there. They didn't see you. And all of a sudden, your temper is gone. There's nothing but a very short fuse, and it's lit. And things escalate, and we end up with altercations and arguments and actual physical assaults that increase this time of year.
Did I see that there was a study that found the temperatures above 82 degrees were associated with increased rates of emergency room visits? For
exactly.
Mental health conditions, 82, that seems low.
Well, it is relatively low, but our bodies kind of respond best around room temperature, which we consider to be 72, 73 degrees, something like that. You get over that, and your body starts going into that increased heart rate, increased respiration. You start sweating, trying to cool your body down, and it starts that fight or flight mechanism. And if you have mental health issues like depression or anxiety, all of a sudden, you have that increased heart rate. You have tachycardia, where your heart is beating not just fast, but sometimes out of rhythm. And you feel like you're in that state of anxiety, whether you are or not. And so it triggers all the panic mechanisms psychologically and physiologically, and it drives people to emergency rooms.
It's Dr. John Huber, clinical forensic psychologist, also chairman of a nonprofit called Mainstream Mental Health. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. For many travelers, Wi-Fi on planes has gone from luxury to expectation. And the good news is that airborne Wi-Fi providers say the service will likely become free on most flights in about 2 years. Right now, Wi-Fi pricing on airline flights has gotten as inconsistent as, well, Wi-Fi service on some airline flights. Slow and shaky, air-to-ground service cost $39.95 on Alaska airline flights between New York and Portland, Oregon, for example. But Alaska is transitioning to faster satellite-based service, so planes with that equipment offer much better service at $20 per flight. More from Scott McCartney, who writes the middle seat column at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what's the current landscape?
You know, it's a real hodgepodge. It's there are aircraft out there that are still on the old air-to-ground system. The service is slow. It's go-go service, but frequent flyers often call it slow-go or no-go. You get kicked off. It's hard to do much of anything. And then there are super-fast, high-speed satellite-based services that work really well, and you can stream video, you can do anything you want to do on them. And part of the irony of what's going on is the really good service is a whole lot less expensive than the really bad service.
Wow. So when it comes to decent Wi-Fi, are you generally getting that on a long-haul flight, or could you possibly experience that on a short, maybe regional flight too?
You know, I would say in general, you get that more on long flights. Now, long flights may be, Chicago to Philadelphia, if the aircraft is properly equipped. But regional planes generally have the air-to-ground service, and they're going to. There's nobody spending money to put satellite services on regional jets, okay, that I know of. And air-to-ground does work better on regional jets because you have fewer users. So if it's a 70-seat airplane instead of a 180-seat airplane, you know, 10% of the passengers are using it, it does work better. As that plane moves along, bouncing from cell tower to cell tower, if you only have a few users who pay and log in and use it, the technology can handle that. It's when you get into multiple users that the system just becomes overloaded and doesn't work well for anybody.
As consumers, we expect this for free, right? But it's not that's not the case everywhere.
No, it's not the case everywhere. Really, the only free service right now in the U.S. is with JetBlue, and they've got a satellite system, works really well, and they've made it free to create a competitive edge. They do it with a sponsorship with Amazon, which helps defray some of the cost. But people in this field really think within the next 2 years it is going to be free. And it is kind of the same pattern that we see in coffee shops and airports and hotels to some extent, where, you know, it's so important to people that you just end up having to make it available to everyone. And so you have a situation with airlines where they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to very quickly upgrade their equipment to satellite-based service. And they're not going to spend all that money if it's only 10% of their passengers who are actually using it. So when you make it free, the take rates go up to 40, 50, 60%. Wow. And it's a huge driver of customer satisfaction. So in essence, an airline can spend that money and buy greater customer satisfaction, and that is kind of appealing to even to airlines.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at The Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece with a funny headline entitled, "The Race to Make Airplane Wi-Fi Less Terrible." Do we get to a point ever where somebody like you is writing a column saying, man, airplanes have and airlines have just made a tremendous commitment to Wi-Fi and it's fantastic everywhere?
Yeah, I think we do. I really do. It's going to take a couple more years. You know, some of the systems that are going in now, airlines have done different tests. American has a really good satellite system that they've done tests like they made a Willie Nelson Austin City Limits concert free to everybody on the airplane and see how you use it. They see a lot of use when you get into Super Bowl or World Cup soccer or things like that. And it really does make a difference. I mean, it's, you know, some airlines will say that Wi-Fi is the number one source of complaints.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney writes the Middle Seat column at the Wall Street Journal. It's 12 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season. 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to Iran's deputy foreign minister is denying that Iran had lost a drone in the Strait of Hormuz after the U.S. said a Navy ship had destroyed an Iranian drone. The official says Iran did not lose any drone and claims the U.S. shot down its own unmanned aerial system by mistake. President Trump says the drone had flown to within 1,000 yards of the USS Boxer and had ignored multiple calls to stand down in the latest episode to stir tensions in the Gulf. President Trump is attempting to distance himself from a boisterous "send her back" chant aimed at Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar that occurred at his campaign rally in North Carolina Wednesday night.
I was not happy with it. I disagree with it. But again, I didn't say that. They did.
Trump's comments came after a growing number of Republican lawmakers criticized the chant. Meanwhile, Omar received a warm welcome back home in Minneapolis yesterday, with supporters cheering her on at the airport and at a healthcare town hall event. The House Judiciary Committee is demanding that Hope Hicks, then press secretary of the 2016 Trump presidential campaign, come back to clarify her testimony following new revelations from court documents. The filings show that Hicks might have been present for discussions about hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, potentially contradicting her testimony last month. Four officers accused of lying about the circumstances surrounding the fatal shooting of a black teen have been fired by the Chicago Police Board. The 2014 killing of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald, which was captured on police video camera, sparked months of protests. A jury in October convicted a white police officer, Jason Van Dyke, of second-degree murder for firing 16 bullets into McDonald, most of which occurred when he was on the ground. The police board said the four officers had exaggerated the threat posed by McDonald in order to cover for Van Dyke. It's no secret that flying has become a lot less fun and a lot more aggravating these days, but one plane full of flyers got quite the treat this week. Free Nintendo Switch video game consoles. Southwest passengers flying from Dallas to San Diego got a console just for themselves. Why did this happen? Well, according to TechSpot, the flight was full of people going to Comic-Con, where Nintendo had a big presence.
That is quite the surprise.
It is.
That'll keep you busy for a flight.
Pretty expensive gift.
Exactly. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Worthy of discussion right now, what exactly is the heat index? You may have heard the phrase, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. Weather.gov says it's actually both. The heat index, also known as the apparent temperature, is what the temperature feels like to the human body when relative humidity is combined with the air temperature. This has important considerations for the human body's comfort. When the body gets too hot, it begins to perspire or sweat to cool itself off. If the perspiration is not able to evaporate, the body cannot regulate its temperature. Evaporation is a cooling process. When perspiration is evaporated off the body, it effectively reduces the body's temperature. When the atmospheric moisture content, or relative humidity, is high, the rate of perspiration from the body decreases. In other words, you can't sweat enough to keep as cool as you want. The human body feels warmer in human conditions. The opposite is true when the relative humidity decreases because the rate of perspiration increases. The body actually feels cooler in arid conditions. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make. At 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusiness.